Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this week I'm featuring the film Actors Anonymous, which had its world premiere at Cinequest Film Festival in Silicon Valley. Actors Anonymous is based on the book by James Franco and also stars the Academy Award nominated actor, along with Scott Hayes and my next guest, Jake Robbins. James Franco's story reveals how unglamorous the acting world can be, whilst also exploring what success in art and in life really means. Well, let's hear my conversation with Jake. Welcome to the show, Jake.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So Actors Anonymous is different from most feature films in that it's a co-production of Elysium Bandini and USC. So nearly all those involved are film students. So how did you become involved with the project?
That's a long, long story. I don't, it's very long. In 2012, I worked on a film project with James. And then
James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. I was in Interior Leather Bar. It was a little indie film that he made. And then I worked with him on this little art house Gucci project. And then from there, I moved to L.A. from New York City in 2014, and I auditioned for a class that he was teaching.
Mm.
I got into the class, and I guess from there, I did good work in the class, and they came to me and said, we want you to audition for this. And I auditioned, and then that was it. You know, I got the role, and then we started working from there.
Right. There are 10 writers credited on the film, which is pretty unusual for a feature film. And I know when an actor comes on board with a production, sometimes the writers may modify the characters, you know, slightly accordingly. What was your experience with the writers on the project? Did you have any involvement with them?
Yeah, we did a table reading before we did the shoot, and I met some of the directors and writers there. And yeah, it was definitely a different process as an actor to work with multiple directors, multiple writers, but it seemed like they all had this cohesive, journey for the character. And so the character, it was just cohesive for me. It didn't seem like there was 11 writers or 11 directors. They kind of all worked together to create Ben, the character that I played. And the journey for him was cohesive for me. So it wasn't too difficult. I would say it was more difficult to work with 11 directors than 11 writers.
That was going to be my next question.
you're on set and you're shooting a scene with one director. And then after that scene, you go to the next location and it's somebody else. So that definitely was a little weird and different. I wouldn't say it was a worse experience than working with one director. But it was definitely something that was more difficult because you create a relationship, right, with a director when you're working with him on just one feature, and you grow with that director and your vision grows with him. But when you have 11 different directors, it made it harder to do that.
Yes. So the idea of having so many directors and writers, is that predominantly to give more students a chance to be involved with a feature film?
I wasn't involved as far as like going to USC. I didn't go to USC. I studied in New York. So I think what James does is that he has these classes and he wants to give these graduate students the opportunity to, you know, get into the real world and really create something that's going to get seen. It's the classes, you know, that he does. I mean, if there's 10 writers in the class, they're all going to contribute. And the thing with the director. So I think that's how it worked. And I don't think it really bothered anybody. I think everybody kind of worked together and created what we created, and it came out pretty well.
Yeah, well, as I said to Chris Abernathy and Tim Astor, producers on the film, you know, there's no sense whatsoever, A, that the film is made by students, but B, that there were multiple writers and directors. I mean, it comes together seamlessly as a really good piece of work, I think, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that was the part that was like, okay, how is this going to turn out, you know, if we have, as an actor before we shot the project, I said to myself, how is this really going to turn out if we have 10 different people putting their input and, you know, and all that. But I honestly think the more people, the better. What I create, you know, the more opinions, the more people who look at it, the more people who contribute, I think that it really actually benefited what we were doing.
Yeah. I think when you have a structured collaborative process, then that is the case. I think sometimes if the people aren't on the same page, you can get a dilution of the piece of art. I remember talking to a film producer in Hollywood once and saying, you know, why do these bad films get made? And he said, well, nobody starts out to make a bad film, but sometimes they get made kind of by committee, and then gradually it just gets diluted, you know, through that process. Yeah. And you lose.
I honestly believe, you know, that independent film is something that's growing, and it's honestly becoming something that's it's bigger. I mean, it's growing, and more people are being able to see independent film and are exposed to it, and it's really great because you have these great storytellers in the independent world, and the focus is more on the story because they don't have these $100 million budgets where they have all these effects and stuff. You have to minimalize everything when you make indie films. So I think that's what we did as well. And I think James did a good job making sure all the students who worked on the project were all on the same page, like you were saying.
Yes, yeah, definitely. To be a great actor, one has to find the truth of the characters one plays. And the characters in Actors Anonymous are confronted with the truth of their own lives, some of it dark. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how well you have to understand yourself in order to be an effective actor taking on the characters of others.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think as far as this character, I could really relate to Ben in a lot of ways. Some ways I couldn't, but in many ways I could. I studied at a college at Pace University in New York City, and I got my bachelor's in acting and my minor in creative writing. And I just think as an actor that you just have to always be studying, to keep studying. Like, you always are learning. And knowing yourself is a big part of it, and the experiences you have in life. I mean, as an actor, what we do is we pull our experiences from life and what we've done and our interactions, everything that happened over the past 24, 25 years of my life, I pull from, you know, in certain situations. So knowing a lot about yourself is very important, and being able to relate to the character and to dive into who he is and just step into his shoes, you really have to pull so much from yourself. And with Ben, it was actually more easy for me to kind of get into his shoes because I've been in LA, I've been in New York, I've been auditioning, I've been, you know, passionate and acting is, you know, the career path that I've chosen. So in a way, you know, you move out to LA thinking like Ben that things are gonna turn out amazing and you're gonna make it, and you come out and you get the harsh reality of Hollywood, you know?
Mm.
So I think in many ways he was relatable, but, you know, obviously there are roles, you know, Scott Hayes, who played Sean, he had to really go to a different place. I mean, he in real life, he doesn't have any kids and he's not married. So, I mean, doesn't have these problems. So he has to dig deeper into, you know, certain situations where for me, I could really relate to Ben. It wasn't hard for me to relate to him, you know?
Yes. Yeah. From my perspective, having seen the premiere of the film, Ben isn't the most likable of people. I mean, you play him really well, and so the audience, you know, does have some sympathy for him. But I'm wondering what it's like playing a more sort of unsavory character rather than an inspiring person.
I think, you know, in a way, you know, when I look at Ben, I kind of feel bad for him more than I dislike him. I look at him and I think, you know, this guy just came out to L.A. with nothing, you know, and met some people, maybe got into the wrong crowd, or, tried to confess his love to Bree. I mean, these are all things that people do, and they don't mean harm by it, you know. I mean, sneaking into Bree's place and confessing his love, stoned, you know, that's something that I may have done or may do in the future, you know. When you really care about somebody and you want them to know, and you're shy, and, you know, you just got to go for it. And I think that in many situations, you know, people look at Ben as maybe dark, but I look at him more as like this kid trying to figure out everything, you know, trying to figure out his life.
Yeah,
and trying to make choices, and you know, falling in love, and you know what, how it is, you know, how we all go through that. I mean, I think, I think people looked at Ben and they thought it was dark, but at the same time, I hope people don't think he's a villain, or, you know, think that he's a bad person, because I think he's just this kid trying to find his way.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. Obviously, we don't want to give too much away about the film, but I could see how.
Yeah.
Ben would certainly think that about himself, and so you playing Ben would need to think those things. I think coming from a woman's perspective, some of his behavior is definitely really not great at all, putting it mildly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that element, you know, and there isn't really an aspect in the film where he seems, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of implied perhaps at the end. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but it's not like he has a massive revelation, you know, where he realizes, oh, perhaps I shouldn't have done, you know, X,
done
Y,
things,
Z. Yeah, but
I love Ben. You know, I have to love Ben.
Yeah, well, you do. I mean, like I said, if you're playing him, you have to be able to be in his mind, don't you, and coming from his place. So, I mean, obviously he doesn't think what he's done is wrong, or he probably wouldn't have done it, you know. So
exactly.
As you sort of referred to, the film does show the kind of underbelly of Hollywood and how hard it is to succeed and what people sacrifice and have to face in order to do so. And I imagine most people just have no idea really how difficult it is to succeed. Mm-hmm. And the film also pays a lot of attention to the craft of acting and being devoted to it. And what was it like being in a film that deals with these realities? You did sort of speak to this a little bit, but was it kind of a bit weird to be playing something that's so close? I mean, I'm not saying the events are close to your life, but, you know, the sort of context so close to your own experience.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to L.A. in 2014, like I said, and everybody has this idea of, I'm going to move to Hollywood and things will be better, and, you know, somebody's going to recognize me, I'm going to stick out somewhere, and I'm going to make it, and everything's going to be great. But once you get here, you realize that it's not really, I don't know, some people are out here for the fame, for the money, but it's not really about that, because all of that is shallow and lonely, you know?
Mm.
You get out here and you realize that everything is very surface level. A lot of things are fake. A lot of the people are fake. So you have to weed those people out and kind of find your group of people who you enjoy working with, who support you. But yeah, it was definitely weird kind of doing it all over again, you know, coming to the Hollywood and going into these classes. And it struck a chord. It made me think, oh, I remember when I did this, when I came to L.A. for the first time, and then I started studying and I did all of this. But yeah, I mean, there's harsh realities to Hollywood that people who don't live here, or for people who aren't in this industry, that they just will never understand. But if you're, you know, if you're a positive person, if you believe in yourself, if you have good people around you, and if this is the love of your life, you're going to do it, you know? So, I'm out here now and I'm creating and I'm working on other projects. So, unlike Ben, I think my experience with Hollywood is a little better. But for sure, it's definitely weird kind of playing a character where, like, it's like, wait, I kind of did this and I'm doing this in real life, you know?
Yes. Yeah. What attracted you to acting as your art form?
When I was a kid, I did James and the Giant Peach. I played James in elementary school, and then I did a Shakespeare play. I played Puck. Mm. And so I did those two plays, and I just really enjoyed the process. And then I went to a prep school for high school in Massachusetts, and my brother was there before me. He's 3 years older than me. And me and my parents used to go to the plays at the high school, and I always used to just be so mesmerized by these plays. And you know, after the play, that the actors would come out, and their parents would be waiting, their friends. And I would just look at them, and I would think, oh, my God, like, they're famous. Like, they're amazing. Like, what you just did was amazing. It was just fantastic, and I just want to touch you and get your autograph, and you were great, you know. And it just fascinated me, seeing somebody on stage and then seeing them walk out of the dressing room, and they're just regular people. They're, you know, they don't look like they did on stage, and the way they talk, the way they interact, they're just normal. And it was something that really fascinated me. And then I got to high school, and I was doing plays in high school, and I was very passionate about it. And for me, I just enjoy telling stories, and I enjoy telling them visually, things that are relevant today, you know, whether it be like Get Out with race or whatever, you know, gender, sexuality. From that point on, from high school, I got into college, and I just was fascinated by film, and I guess the rest is history.
Yes. Yeah. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation with lead actor Jake Robbins after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Bookshop Santa Cruz is celebrating 50 years of independent bookselling in the community that we love. Visit Bookshop Santa Cruz downtown and join in the festivities as we celebrate our customers and the books that make it all possible. Bookshop Santa Cruz, celebrating an amazing 50 years in downtown Santa Cruz. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And the show has a topic hour and an arts hour. Right now, we're featuring thought-provoking conversations with artists. My guest is Jake Robbins from the film Actors Anonymous, based on James Franco's book of stories, which explores what it really means to be successful as an actor and in life. And Jake Robbins is one of the lead actors in the film, if you just joined us, along with James Franco and Scott Hayes. Well, let's hear the rest of my conversation with Jake. I'm really interested about the ability of art to help people consider and process difficult issues, both from the point of view of people making the art and those experiencing it. I'm wondering if that's something that you see with art, whether it can have any sort of cathartic or healing effect, both making art and experiencing it.
Yeah, I think making art and experiences and experiencing it, I think it can be very healing. As far as making it, you're with this group of people for however long you're shooting. With Actors Anonymous, it was a month. But you're with these people and they become family, and you want to really bring the story to life, and everybody's visions come together, and we're collaborating, and it's, you know, long days at night, during the day, waking up early. And it's just something that a lot of people don't get to experience, this 30-day thing where you're become family with these people and you know almost everything about them. And then after that, it's just like you go on to your next project and they go on to their next project. And it's a really healing and rewarding experience to meet people and to create with them. And then as far as seeing film or seeing any type of art, I think, you know, we go to see art and film to escape from our lives and to entertain ourselves. So when we go, we watch stories that hit chords emotionally, or we watch stories that make us laugh. And I just think it's very, very healing. You know, I try to see in film, you know, I try to see a couple of films a week and go to the movies a couple times a week. It's just something that has inspired me, and it's just 2 hours I can just get away and just dive into somebody's life, you know, somebody's story. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that I really hope independent film continues to grow, because I really believe independent film is kind of the next big thing.
Mm. Yeah. No, I definitely can see that.
You know, I think a lot of people, I mean, I don't know, I don't live in like Central America, but a lot of people want to go see stories like Moonlight of you know, Captain America, or, you know, I mean, obviously people like that stuff, but, and it makes money, but, you know, for me personally, you know, I want to see as much independent film as I can, because that's what really inspires me to tell stories.
Yeah. And I think obviously with independent film, you're getting the ability to tell perhaps more unique stories in a way. I mean, if you are presenting or producing rather a film that has to grab the widest group of people, then you are having to, you know, get a large catchment of general of opinion and desires, if you know what I mean. So, you know, yeah. Independent film does allow a more nuanced approach. You know, not everybody may like it, but, you know, a lot of people may like it, but it doesn't have to appeal to everybody's needs.
Yeah. And I live in West Hollywood, and there's great theater. It's called Sundance Sunset Cinemas, if you're ever in Los Angeles. Mm. And they always play some of the best independent films. And I'm there every Tuesday, because it's $6 on Tuesdays. So I'm there every Tuesday. And then I try to go all the time. I mean, film is, it's just so inspiring, and it's just something that I love. So
yeah. That's great. The world of acting is highly competitive, especially in Hollywood, and it's very hard to succeed in. And James Franco's character in Actors Anonymous is a famous actor who's rather lost the plot, it seemed to me. You know, he's sort of playing the Hollywood game, leveraging his power, you know, kind of pretty in love with himself. How does one keep one's sense of oneself and what you want from life in such a challenging environment? I mean, when you're trying to make it, you know, and also if you do get famous, I mean, how do you think one should go about trying to not start believing your own PR?
Well, for me personally, you know, I used to think being famous would be cool. But then I got to a place where I realized, you know, I create my own films as well. So my passion lies in creating films. So to me, my success is making films and getting them out into the world and getting them seen, which I'm doing. So in a way, I look at myself and I say, I'm never content with where I am, what I have. I always want to be better and you know. But as far as success, I mean, you can't look at acting or being in the entertainment industry and say, okay, success is going to be fame. Because if you do that, you're just going to plummet and just go into a dark hole, you know. And even when you do reach some kind of fame, you know, I mean, even with the films that I make or Actors Anonymous, when I go to these festivals, you know, people want to talk to me, people want to take photos of me. It feels more rewarding and I feel more humbled by it all, the experience, than like, oh, I feel like I'm famous. You know, I think that famous is kind of such a nasty thing, like the fame and the way that people portray it and look at it. I think that, you need to know how to humble yourself and, you know, just remember where you came from and, you know, what my parents taught me and the person who I am. And, success to me is just being able to work, in this industry and make a living. I'm not really looking at things in a way where I'm like, oh, well, I need to be famous or I need to make it by whatever. I look at it kind of as just a journey, and each project is part of that journey, and you just keep going, and if you hit some kind of fame, hopefully you can humble yourself and just keep creating these stories and inspiring people.
Well, that sounds very level-headed, and I think, you know, if you focus on the art and you keep focused on that, then I think that's one way. I mean, obviously that can sometimes go into pretension, but you know, I think if you're really just sort of like you're saying, into telling stories and into the creation part of it, and you retain that no matter what happens, which, you know, I think is challenging, but that is, I think, definitely the way to go.
I also think, you know, people don't realize too that, like, once you get famous, if you do, like, then you're going to want something else. So it's like, you're never going to be really content. You know, even if you're famous, then you're going to be like, well, Ryan Gosling's more famous than me, so I have to get more famous than him. And then it just becomes like, you're just trying to, I don't even know, like, you're just trying to be better than everybody, when it's just like, why can't we just tell stories and just be inspired by other people and inspire people? And just, I don't know. It's always very, competition is okay, you know, but, this whole idea about fame and, you know, it's definitely something big in Hollywood, you know, so it's something that definitely affects me as an artist. You know, what kind of car do you drive? What kind of clothes do you wear? Who do you know? What kind of projects are you working on? And, you know, all of these things I try not to focus on. I try to just focus on creating my own art and working with good people and inspiring people and, you know, enjoying life. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really, you know, true satisfaction sounds cliched, but does come from within. I was remember reading a quote by John Lennon where he said, you know, after the Beatles, he was sort of like, oh, God, all I am is a Beatle. You know, all I'll ever be is a Beatle. And he just felt a failure because he sort of felt like, well, is that all I'm ever going to be? Which just shows you that it isn't about what is on the outside. It's what's inside you. You know, if you can be that famous and that successful and still feel like you haven't done enough or haven't achieved enough and you're not good enough, then, you know, it's clear it's about what do you think, you know, think of yourself. But I think
And that'll make people go crazy, you know. It'll literally make people go insane. I mean, that's crazy that John Lennon would say that. You know, it's just like, you can continue to inspire people with your platform. You know, even though the Beatles broke up and, when you have a platform, which is hopefully one day I'm hoping to be able to be put on a platform where I can inspire other people and help other people. And even if I stop doing film, I can still inspire people and talk to students I think that once you have that platform, it's either you do good things with it or you choose to have this bad image that doesn't benefit society.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Well, thanks so much, Jake, for your time and coming on the show. It's lovely talking to you, and I wish you
as well
all the best with the projects that you're working on at the moment, and also with Actors Anonymous too.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. It was nice talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thanks very much again there to Jake Robbins, one of the lead actors from the film Actors Anonymous. And if you want more information about the film, if you'd like to tell other people about this interview, you can go to the show website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and check out the podcast there. And the way you do that, at the top of the homepage, there are two tabs, guests and topics. For this purpose of finding this show, you would go to guests, and there's all photographs of all the different guests that we've had. If you click on it, it takes you to the podcast page where I put up links and photos and, of course, the audio of the interviews. So I do encourage you to go there and check that out, and also all the interesting topics that we have done also. And, of course, you can tune in live to the show to listen as well. But as far as Actors Anonymous goes, it's a really interesting film. I encourage you to look out for it when it comes into theatres or becomes more widely available. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again next time.